Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a student at Luther Seminary, the school where you learn to be a pastor, I got to spend an entire summer traveling around to church Bible camps in the Midwest region, different states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Dakotas. So I got to meet a lot of people and a lot of college students especially, and talk to them about their call or their vocation in life. Because you know it's on the forefront of most college kids' minds, what to do with one's life, where to go, what kind of person do they want to be, how do they want to contribute to society. And there are all sorts of resources out there, especially 20 years later than that was on the internet. You can find inventories and self-help books, and you can find occupational counseling and all that. But what I really stressed when I was talking to them, and what was very obvious, I think, to all of us, is that we are always looking at a deeper question, and that is, what is God calling you to do? Today's scripture reading gets at the heart of this. We hear a real-life encounter between God and Moses, the one whom God has called to do good things in God's world. It's a pivotal understanding for understanding the it's a pivotal story for understanding the Old Testament and our Judeo-Christian foundations. And so I'm going to give you a little background. Earlier in Exodus, the Pharaoh is feeling threatened by the Israelites, so he vows to kill all kids under the age of 2. And so Moses' mother hides him in a basket in the Nile River, in the reeds, the sides, the bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him and takes Moses in. And so Moses ends up growing up in the Pharaoh's home. Moses grows up in a very protected and privileged place, obviously, being in this advantaged home in Egypt, but eventually he realizes that he's growing up in an Egyptian home that is oppressing his people. So he gets angry. He kills an Egyptian, and he flees the land of Egypt entirely. And that is where today's story picks up. In today's passage, Moses is far away from Egypt. He's far away from the drama that put him in this place to flee. He's far away from the violence, and his life is more livable. He's married. He's had a baby. He's tending the flock of his father-in-law out in the land of Midian. He would probably say his life is enjoyable and maybe even comfortable. Today we hear him going about his day and every day walking with his flock through the wilderness, and he ends up at the holy mountain where he notices a bush that is burning, but it's not being burned up. And so his interest is piqued. How could a bush that is burning not be consumed? And it's here that God's voice comes to Moses, and God's call becomes clear. He says, "Moses, Moses," as you heard Pastor Callan just read. And Moses responds, "Here I am." And then God says, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And I ask you, have you ever had an encounter like this? An encounter where God's presence is so obviously apparent. An encounter that maybe you've even wanted to take off your shoes to acknowledge the holiness of God. A few years ago, my husband Sedge and I had the opportunity of a lifetime. We traveled to the northeast of Paris to a little village where we spent 7 days in a silent retreat. And when I mention this to most people, they say, "I could never do that, nor would I want to spend 7 days in silence." But on the first day of the retreat, the leader said to us, "We don't ask you to be silent to be miserable. We ask you to be silent to more easily listen to the voice of God." And so those 7 days were spent noticing how God speaks in our lives, our everyday lives. And in that place, there were several people that took their shoes off and walked around the grounds, because this was felt a very sacred and holy place to them, with the worship and the peace and everything. So I ask you the same question: how do you listen to God speak in your life? How do you hear God's voice? When we hear today's story, we see God's voice is found in something very ordinary, a bush, which makes it clear that you do not have to go all the way off to France for 7 days in silence to notice God's voice, though that was pretty awesome. It is always speaking. God is always talking to us. When we keep our eyes and ears attentive to the moments and situations around us each and every day. This fall at Mount Olivet, we've been looking more intentionally at Mount Olivet's mission statement, to believe, to belong, to become. And more fully, it says, believing in Jesus Christ through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are belonging to the community of Jesus Christ, and we are becoming like Jesus Christ through servanthood. These three words, believing, belonging, becoming, are really the heart of what it means to live out one's Christian faith. They illustrate so fully the way God is calling us to live in this world, to be attentive to God's call, to identify holy ground, and they help us when we find ourselves in places we would not choose for ourselves. And that's exactly what is happening in today's story with Moses. Moses clearly did not want the assignment to be called by God to go back to Egypt, the land where he had killed in anger an Egyptian. He didn't want to go back and have to face what he thought might trouble him there, and he pleaded with God not to send him. God hears him, and as we learn in future chapters of Exodus, though God doesn't take away Moses' assignment, God does send his brother Aaron to accompany him, which is a great strength for him. But even more importantly, God reassures Moses with the words, "I will be with you. I will be with you." So finally, Moses starts moving beyond his own self-doubt, beyond his own unworthiness, beyond his fear, and Moses trusts that God will lead him. And trust could be the most difficult thing we ever do because it changes our equation and our perception of life. We turn from ourselves and open ourselves up to realizing life is more than just about us. God's promise, "I will be with you," is all the assurance we need to live a life in trust, and yet trust is probably the hardest thing we will ever learn to do. It's All Saints Sunday, and I don't think there could be a better day to recognize this absolute promise and gift given by God in our baptism, that God is always with us and there's nothing we can do to be separated from this. And so we remind our confirmation students each week about this essential promise in a nutshell, and I'm going to teach it to you right now too. We tell them every week, if you don't remember anything else about what you've learned in confirmation and your baptismal promises, remember this, that you are a child of God. So we're going to say, "Remember that I'm a child of God," and give ourselves the sign of the cross on our forehead. "Remember that you are a child of God." Sign of the cross on your forehead. Do it with me. "Remember that you are a child of God." Thank you. "Remember that you are loved," and give yourself a hug. "Remember that you are loved." And then reach out and touch someone. Maybe hold their hand or bump their elbow or fist bump and say, "Remember that you are not alone." Awesome. We're going to do it one more time because I didn't clearly explain this to you. So "Remember that you are a child of God." Sign of the cross. And "Remember that you're a child of God." "Remember that you are loved." And "Remember that you are not alone." That is the essence of the gospel. That is the essence of what God wants us to know and trust and live out in our lives. And it's especially poignant this All Saints Sunday when we are reminded of the dear people in our lives who have gone before us. Because like in this Moses story, when a loved one dies, we end up going to places that we would never choose for ourselves. We deeply grieve. We hurt for the person who is gone. We wish this person didn't need to leave our earthly presence. When a loved one dies, we often realize that, or we think that one who believed in us more than we even believe in ourselves is now gone, that one who was our rock is no longer right at our side, that one that we don't know how we'll live without is no longer here, and we become very fearful. But it's also a moment of call when we reach that place. It's a moment of holiness, and it's a moment of the assurance of God's presence. Because in death we often see, in fact, we do see God most clearly. We experience our loved one passing the baton and leading us to God, trusting that in their absence, earthly absence, that God will be present with us wherever we go. And that even though our loved ones are gone, they've now become most fully who they were meant to be, who they were created to be. That become clause of our mission statement comes full circle. They're whole, blameless, sinless, fully alive at the very heart of God. Our loved ones, whom we don't know how to live without, are actually leading us into a new phase of life, to see Jesus and to trust in a whole new way. For Jesus died, but Jesus rose again. And we are all called to become the people God created us to be in life here on earth and most certainly in life in heaven. So today we rejoice as we worship with the saints who have gone before us, and we trust the promise. Jesus died, but Jesus rose again. For you, for me, for all of us gathered in this place. And we are reminded that we will be and are completely united as the people God has called us to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.